Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, we're going to take a deeper look into the book of Ruth this morning. And if you think about it, right around this time period, we're pulling out some decorations, getting ready for Halloween. But if you're really ahead of things, if you're like Colleen or like Sally, you're pulling out Christmas decorations. Or is Valentine's out already? All right, no. So I'm a little behind the game on things. But I am pulling out my snow globe. And we have a snow globe here in our house getting ready for Christmas decorations. You know, as a child with the snow globe that we had growing up, I'd oftentimes imagine what life would be like if you lived inside the globe. As a child, I came to the conclusion it'd be a really terrible existence if you lived inside, because there's really not a lot of places you can go. You know, in this particular one, there's just Frosty the Snowman and there's just a tree. That would get boring after a while, wouldn't it, if you lived inside? There wouldn't be parks to go to or a shopping mall to kind of spread your wings and do some different things. Yeah, it'd be kind of claustrophobic living inside. There's another reason why I wouldn't like to live inside of a globe. It's because, you see, the white particles would keep going around and hitting you in the face. When it snows outside, it doesn't do that. It comes down and it stays in the ground or it melts. But see, if you lived inside of this, it would be chaos. The same white particle that hit you about 2 minutes ago would hit you again. That would be very, very frustrating. Claustrophobic, disconnected. It'd be a tough life to live inside of the snow globe. But we all love snow globes, don't we? We all do. That's because we have an outside perspective. And as I think about it, when I look at my snow globe and really enjoy it, it's because I'm covered up with a blanket inside. And I'm right in front of the fire, feeling pretty good. And I look in, that's where I see the chaos inside, but it doesn't affect me at all because it's there in the palm of my hand and I have an outside perspective and a snow globe. Snow globe, if it's great or if it's not, really depends if you have an inside perspective or an outside perspective. Think about that this morning as we transition to our text from Ruth. In Ruth's account, we have an inside perspective. And this morning, I was thinking of the characters that we'd talk about, and I'd focus in on my study, and I really want to speak to Naomi, her perspective here in Ruth chapter 1. It's a terrible perspective. The inside perspective of Naomi is really a tough one. Now, you may be sitting here this morning and being sentimental about what we just heard read from the children, because it's a beautiful text. Wherever you go, I will go, Ruth says. Your people will be my people. That's very sentimental and heartfelt. How often do you hear a daughter-in-law say that to a mother-in-law these days? Not very often. This passage has personal significance for me. See, back in January 2008, we had a snowstorm in Muskegon, Michigan, of about, I don't know, Alicia, how many inches? 2 feet? And the very next day, we were getting married at Trinity Lutheran Church in Muskegon, Michigan. And the famous soprano in Muskegon, Michigan, she was singing up in the balcony at our wedding. And guess what she sang? Whither thou goest, based on this text, Ruth chapter 1. So it's a sentimental pick. In fact, still, when Alicia and I disagree about what restaurant we're going to go to, I bring up that phrase, whither thou goest. She brings it up to me too. It comes back. Dang it. Whither thou goest. From an inside perspective, though, this is a terrible passage. Did you catch the details? Naomi takes her husband and two sons, and they go to this place called Moab. Moab is a place in which God does not promise to be present in. In fact, God tells his people, stay away from Moab. These are the people that murder other people. Stay away. And she's forced to go there with her husband. And once she's there, her two sons marry Moabite women. Now, if you wanted your family to kind of be in controversy in the rumor mill, you had your sons marry a Moabite woman. Trust me, the families were talking about this. Did you hear about Naomi's family? They married Moabites. This was a really troublesome thing here. And then in Moab, in this terrible place, this is where her husband dies. And there in Moab, we have read the details that the two sons die. Now, Naomi picks up two lovely daughter-in-laws. That's special and sentimental. But think about this. In the letter of, in the book of Ruth, Naomi changes her name. And in Hebrew, that's a big, big deal whenever this happens. Naomi changes her name from Naomi, which in Hebrew means pleasant, to Mara, which means bitter, tough life. From the inside perspective, you see, this text looks terrible. It looks awful. Tragic loss, grief, suffering, and death. Maybe here, you're here this morning, you can relate to that feeling of being trapped inside, maybe death, loss, tragedy. I think we all have experienced those things, or just being in a trapped spot. The feeling is kind of like, you know, as I was thinking about this, it's kind of like being on a roller coaster ride that you're really excited about, but when you got halfway through, you didn't feel excited about it, and you look down and you see someone who's calm, eating cotton candy, and you wish you could get off your ride and be that person on the outside, but you can't. You're stuck on the inside. Or maybe it's like for our children and youth, you're leading us today, and you're kind of early October. Maybe you entered into a math class and you thought, I got this. And now it's October 13th and you're like, I don't have this. And I'm overwhelmed and there's still two more months in the semester. I'm stuck in the inside. Or maybe you're like this. Maybe, and I've seen this often, maybe you've been diagnosed with something and you're in a hospital room. And you look outside the window and you see someone walking through the fall leaves, and it's beautiful outside, and you would love to trade places with that person on the outside, but see, you can't. You're stuck on the inside with nowhere to go. It's very difficult. You'd love to trade places, but you can't. We experience tragedy, loss, and pain. And when we do, it feels like we're trapped on the inside and we want to change our names in some fashion. And no one would blame this Naomi for crying out to God these questions. Why have you given me this loss, God? Why have you caused so much pain? Why is life unfair? Those are reasonable questions for God when you just have an inside perspective. The inside perspective is not the only one. Remember that today. And the inside perspective is not the only one. I'm being faithful to the text as a theologian. The inside perspective is not the only one in this little book of Ruth. There's another one here. The author of the book. The author of the book has an outside perspective. Now, tradition in the church says that the author of the book of Ruth is Samuel. That he wrote it during the time of the judges and he put it together. In truth, we really don't know if it was Samuel or not. But what we can say, you see, is that the author of this book had an outside perspective. He's looking back over the events of Naomi and Ruth's life and Obed and Jesse, and he puts together this book and he sees things from a different perspective. Here's a couple of little outside nuggets that are being thrown into our text. In verse 1, this outside author throws in this little detail that Naomi's husband is from Bethlehem of Judah. Not so odd. But then when you go in verse 2, the author throws it in again that they're from Bethlehem. Well, one time is maybe coincidence, but twice? Why is the author doing this? How crazy. Then let's skip to the end of the book of Ruth. We see another odd occurrence happen. Some inside tough things happen to Naomi throughout this book. But when you get to chapter 4, something repeats itself twice. See, at the very end of Ruth, the author, who has the outside perspective, says this: Boaz married Ruth, and they had a son named Obed. Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. And not just to let it hang there, but the author, who has the outside perspective, then goes on and gives the genealogy of David, and the book of Ruth ends. You see, as we see this inside perspective, Naomi's view, which is terrible and sad and heartbreaking, the author is making a point for each one of us. There's an outside view going on in Ruth. Bethlehem twice. David twice. God is up to something in the midst of this story. And in fact, God is up to something bringing his plan of salvation through his son, Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, and the son of David. But let us not forget here this morning that Jesus just brings an outside perspective that we can feel helpful with, or it gives us some hopefulness throughout life, or some, we can be more optimistic in life. You see, the thing about Jesus is that Jesus experienced the inside part of Naomi's life. Jesus came and he had the loss, he had the death, he had the grief of being abandoned. And it happened there on the cross. It was at the cross that Jesus felt trapped with nowhere to go. The sun darkened, you see. The sun darkened, and everyone around Jesus was on the outside. They were enjoying the events. They were taking in the entertainment. They were thinking about what they were going to do on the weekend and these sorts of things. But Jesus was on the cross, trapped on the inside. And what Jesus was doing by dying on the inside was he was opening up an outside view for us. Friends, your inside struggles of death and loss and heartache are real. God's given you an outside view. Jesus' story is your story. His life is your life. His death is your death, but his resurrection is your resurrection. We have an outside story. And here's something that's maybe a little bit different to think about. You're in an unusual place in some ways, in that you have an inside story, which all of us, it includes tragedy and loss and hardship. We also have an outside perspective, God's story through his son Jesus. But friends, we live in a community around us that has one story, inside story. Loss and tragedy and death. I was reminded of that as I was writing the sermon of a man that came into this building early on a Sunday morning. I didn't know him from church circles, knew him out in the community, and he knew that I liked to pray here on Sunday mornings, and he just showed up out of the blue, and I could tell that he was rattled by something. And he couldn't spit out what it was, but he handed me a piece of paper. And in that piece of paper, it was a detailing of how this person loved his children, but how he and his wife lost an infant daughter 13 years to that exact day. And he came in, and he shared that letter with me. And what I've realized as a pastor is that with people in the community, it's not so much that they disagree with the third article of the creed, or they disagree with this style of worship or that style of worship or this sort of thing. You know what it is from my perspective? It's that we have a lot of people that only have an inside view. Loss, death, and that's what he was communicating to me when he came Sunday morning. For 13 years, he had lived with the pain of losing an infant daughter, and it hurt him deeply. And you and I, God has placed us here, we have both perspectives that we can share with someone. The inside view and the outside view. As an adult now, I look at the snow globe a little bit differently as I hold it in the palm of my hand. The chaos is going on, winter's happening, it's claustrophobic inside, but my mind doesn't go there. I've grown up a little bit, hopefully. I still have a mind of a child, but hopefully I've grown up a little bit. It's that outside view that dominates my perspective of the snow globe, not the inside view. As we as Christians walk and live, let us do the same. The inside view of heartache, loss, difficulty is real. Let's not just move on past that. That's real. But the outside view that God is at work and has brought the plan of salvation through his son Jesus is just as real and more powerful. Amen.